May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We're in red today because it's the Feast of the Holy Innocents, and Bracken just read those scriptures. This is a really short word, but when I was praying, I said something in my prayer, and so when I did, God, Holy Spirit just spoke this talk about that. I was planning on doing something else, which I guess I'll do tomorrow. When I said, he just makes it easy for us. And he does make it easy for us. Somehow, we think that the deep things of God, that God makes it hard. You have to jump through a lot of calisthenics to get hold of a lot of things. But I just think he just lays everything right on top of the ground. He makes it easy for us. He takes the cookies off the top counter so that we can reach them. It's not a game. We're not playing a game. He paid a huge price for us to be able to fulfill our purpose and destiny, which is an eternal one, so he doesn't play this warmer, warmer, colder, colder game with us like that. He makes it easy. So I think, when I think about Eucharist, how he just makes it easy for us, I mean, to encounter him. Not difficult. And we've got 20 kids and 5 adults who drove to Kansas City. It's going to be 15 degrees as the high tomorrow, the low's 2. When they leave Monday morning, it's going to be -6. And God, they're going to encounter the Lord. And every time you make this extravagant sacrifice, it just pleases God's heart. But you can also just open your Bible and encounter him. You can stop for a moment and encounter him. He just makes it easy. And I was thinking about the fact that that scripture that Bracken read is a really hard one over the years. And Westerners particularly grapple with that big time, because Westerners want to explain everything. If you're going to say something about God, then we got to have a logical explanation for why that's true about God. And different from Easterners, and of course Jesus was born in the East, Middle East, and a Middle Eastern approach to theology is, we're going to tell you what God isn't, because we can't really fully understand what God is. We just know he isn't a liar. We know he isn't evil. We know he isn't that. Now, the rest of it's open. Only Westerners run around trying to create systematic theology. The way he begins and the way he ends makes it easy for me to understand scripture like this. The way he begins, he comes to us in such innocence. There's nothing sweeter, nothing. I've never met an ugly baby. I've known some, and some were family members, really ugly adolescents, but and they grew out of it. But babies are just beautiful. And so you can. It says something so profound about who God is and God's heart that he could have worked out his redemptive plan any way he wanted to. But he worked out his redemptive plan by clothing himself with innocent child growing up in very difficult circumstances to own and redeem the human experience. So we know he cares and that there's this innocence and this purity about him. But then when he died, like nothing could express greater sacrificial love than all the pain he would go through and suffer for us. And so when I look at the beginning, and I just encounter how sweet God is. And then how passionate he is in the cross, I think that's who he is. He's like this sweet, yet full of fire and passion, who would love me so much, God so loved. So when I read scriptures like this, and Westerners have a tendency to practice, it's called eisegesis. Exegesis is a theological approach to the Bible that says, I'm just going to let let the Bible speak for itself. Eisegesis says, I've got an agenda, so I'm going to speak into it because it's got to say this to fit the narrative. And Westerners are terrible about that. When they leave, it says in verse 13 of chapter 2, it says, and when they departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, tells him to flee Egypt. He gets up, takes the child, they go to Egypt, was there until the death of Herod, that what was spoken by the Lord, the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, out of Egypt did I call my son. Talks about scripture being fulfilled. Then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its environs from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had ascertained from the Magi, then that which was spoken through the scripture, Jeremiah, was fulfilled. One of them, scripture was fulfilled by Jesus escaping. The other scripture was fulfilled by children dying. Now again, we've said this before, understand that if one child dies like that, that's a tragedy. This was probably about 50 children. It wasn't like 1,000. Bethlehem was very little. Micah 5:2 says, you're too little to even be mentioned, O Bethlehem, and yet you were chosen for this purpose, for the birth to come. And so the question would be, how does that fit? Did God order that? I mean, God's not the author of evil. No, God can't have ordered it, and yet it's been in Scripture for like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, so it wasn't like God and everybody was caught by surprise. I mean, it wasn't like it wasn't in Jeremiah. It was there, the prophecy. And there was plenty of time for God to work out a plan to keep it from happening. But it seemed to be part of the deal where human evil somehow been woven into eternal purposes and stuff. And so people read these things and they'll go, Joseph got this dream, Jesus escapes in Egypt, God is good. Scripture is fulfilled. Then that which is spoken through Scripture is fulfilled, children dying. That can't be, God can't be involved. We got to remove, somehow God's hands were tied, people didn't make some kind of declaration, somebody didn't step in and do something because that's evil. So God can't be good, and that's inconsistent with God being good. That's just humanism. God makes it easy for me. I don't have to understand. Both those things happen, and God is really good. He's really sweet and innocent, and he loves us with a love that's sacrificial beyond anything we could ever imagine. He just makes it easy for me. And my theology doesn't have to get any heavier than that. God is good. Did God cause those children to die? No. And so I hear this other thing, well, if God allowed it, then he's like an abusive parent, because if you're an abusive, if you allow something to happen, then you're responsible for it. But God had known about it for a couple of thousand years and certainly had the ability to step in and stop it and didn't. So was God happy with it? No. Was it, you understand, I don't know those answers. God didn't do it. God wasn't happy with it, but God, you understand, it comes to a point you go, I don't know. And I always love to go to the clergy gatherings, and you ask questions, and there's always one clergy at some point. Just when you think the meeting's almost over, they'll like go, well, can you tell me where God came from? I'm going, oh, jeez. No, I can't. You're not allowed to ask any more questions. I don't know. I just know that the nativity and the cross make it easy for me. God's good. And he's good when I don't understand. I can believe he's good when scripture is being fulfilled or things are being fulfilled in my life and it all goes real smooth, great escape. I can also believe it's good when I end up going through things that I don't understand, doesn't make sense, involves things that yucky stuff that people have made decisions over. God's still good. That's all I need to know. And I don't have to understand it all. Or try to explain it to everybody, because when you do, it just creates more confusion in the end. He's just good when I get figured out, and he's good when I can't figure it out. What I do like about here is that God's still, were his purposes still moving forward? Yes. What he had spoken, what he had prophesied, what was moving forward. The enemy doesn't ever win. Not in the end. Never. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.